I'm picking up on a message we started on last Wednesday night, and victory in the midst of trouble. Of course, a familiar story. Every child that's been in church any length of time probably knows it, and about the fiery furnace, and we've mentioned it several times here since we've been in the book of Daniel. But I've just had this on my mind, victory in the midst of trouble. And the Word of God says that man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so we're going to have trouble. And somebody else said, you're either in a storm, just came out of one, or heading into one. And I say amen to that. I believe that probably all of us, we're either in some kind of difficult situation or something we're facing, or we're wrestling with something that we're trying to get squared away in our lives, or somebody's sick, or there's been some deaths in the family, or there's been something. And so that's the way life is. God, ever since sin came in, trouble came. And there's been trouble ever since because there's been sin ever since. And so we have to deal with that. But I'm glad as God's people, we can have victory in the midst of the trouble. We can have some peace in the midst of the trouble and some real joy in the midst of all of it. And it can be there. Now, in chapter 1, we talked about them. Daniel 3, which you're not wanting to defile themselves, king's meat and king's drink, and so forth, and how God watched over, cared for them. Chapter 2, we dealt with Daniel seeing or interpreting the vision that the king had seen, and talking about the world empires that would be, and gave us, in fact, is Daniel chapter 2, and I probably would agree with, I guess Dr. H.A. Arnside said it, that the most concise prophecy in the Word of God is found in Daniel chapter 2 of the Gentile rule of the world when they were in authority, and Israel has been set aside and until after the rapture of the church. And so it's given there, the Babylonian Empire and then the Medes and the Persian Empire and then Greece and then Rome. And then you come down to the 2 feet and 10 toes and iron mixed with clay, and that's revived Roman Empire. And you and I are seeing some things today, I believe, moving in that direction rapidly. And that be as it may, Jesus is coming back. I know that for a fact. How you know, preacher? Because the Word of God said that he is. And I cannot deny the fact that he's coming. He is coming back. Now, how long he's going to leave us here before he gets back, I don't know. I just know that we need to stay faithful and keep our eyes on Jesus and know something about the troubles and handling them. And letting God help us. And Sunday morning I was preaching on being filled with the Spirit. And God helped me in a special way Sunday. I praise God for what he did for me. I don't know what he did for anybody else, but I know what he did for me. And thinking about all that's happening in our day. And as you look around you and you see difficulties in people's lives, you see it in your own life, you see it everywhere you look. But I'm glad, praise God, there's some real peace in Jesus, and there's a presence of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, then things don't look as bad as they do when you're not filled with the Spirit of God. And you have help you don't have otherwise. And we looked at it in chapter 3, and now the king has made an image, and he's called everybody to worship that image, and said if they didn't worship it, they're going to be thrown in a burning fiery furnace. And we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what the confidence they had before the furnace. We talked about that last week, the confidence they had before the furnace. They had, and you notice in verses numbers, about verse 16 down through 18, down through there, maybe verse 15 started out. Well, King starts out in verse 15 asking, who is that God that shall deliver you? And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered him. And they answered him with confidence. They didn't answer him and beat around the bush about it. They just told him they wasn't going to bow and said, we're not. I don't believe they were arrogant about it. I don't think they tried to be smart about it. I think they just calmly answered them, King, the old king, no, that we're not going to bow to your image. We're not going to worship your gods. They even said gods, not just the image, but other gods he had. They were making it plain that they only had one God, and that was the only one they were going to worship, and they made that plain. And so the confidence they had, and they made a statement and said, our God is able to deliver us out of the hand. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. And if not, and I love that, and if not, we're still not going to bow. And so what they're saying is, but he will deliver us out of your hand. What they were saying was, God's sovereign God, he's in control. And you can throw us in a fiery furnace, we can burn to death, but it's not going to be in your hands. We'll be in God's hands. And God will deliver us out of your hands. And so they had confidence that God would take care of them. And I have to be honest with you, in the midst of trouble, sometimes our confidence wanes. And we look at it and wonder, well, will it work out? Will it be okay? Well, I know you're more spiritual than I am, and your confidence level's way up there. And you're always, and I'm confident God's going to do this, and God's going to help me, and God's going to see me through this, and everything's going to be fine. And you know, the rest of you, just like I am, there's times that you face something, and you want to pray, and you want to believe, and you want to trust, and you want to keep it there, but somehow you struggle with it. And you don't have that confidence that you need. And I identify with that. But these three Hebrew children, they had the confidence before the furnace. Now tonight, I just want to give you two things quickly, and I'll be through. And I just wanted to finish up that message. There's a whole lot more could be said about it than what I'll say tonight. But I just wanted to say this to help us with this. And I remember the confidence that you have to have faith in God. You have to have your faith. You have to know you're saved. And you have to know that he's sovereign God. And you have to know that he's ultimately in control. And that whatever he desires, he can work out in his time, in his way. And he is able to do so. And we must be completely in faith in that. Faith in him that he will work it out for his glory and for his honor. And so if we'll always look at it that way, we can have that confidence before the storm happens, when we see it coming, or whatever that we're in. But notice the condition in the furnace, if you would, please. Look in verse number 25. Well, I guess I ought to read some scripture before we look at this. And we'll look at it anyhow in just a minute. But let's just start reading at verse 25. And I'm going to ask you to stand just to honor the word of God and listen to it. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men. King now had thrown them in the fiery furnace. The men, the strongest men he had in the army to throw them in, and they were burned up when they threw them in. And so the fire was hot, and they were burned up, but the four men fell in, the three men went in. And the king got up to look in. He said in answer and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near into the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Now I want to pause there and say this. Back in verse 15, he said, who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? And now here he is, same man, same pagan king. And I'm trying to find my place. And Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26, came near to the mouth of burning fire and furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Now he's recognizing that Most High God. He's saying, he is a high God. And he's recognizing. And come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, kings, and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was there a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed in the smell of fire, and they had not passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel, hath delivered his servants that trusted him, hath changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, and changed the king's word. He found out he wasn't sovereign after all. He found out God's sovereign, and did what he wanted to do, yielded their bodies. They might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghills, and so there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Same pagan king that has said, who is that God? And now he's saying, anybody speaks against that God, I'm going to deal with them. They'll have to die. Verse number 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege to preach. And I pray that you'd help us now, God, to share the word of God for a few moments. I pray for those who've been mentioned here tonight in prayer, request, and Lord, unsaved, I pray for them. I pray conviction be upon unsaved, upon those that out of the will of God. I pray the Holy Ghost do a work tonight. And then I pray, God, for those that are facing surgery, help them. And Father, help those that are sick, whatever the needs may be, then facing any kind of a problem, difficulty, situation, that we may have confidence in the living God. And Father, then I pray you teach us tonight some things about these trials that come unto us. And we'll praise you and thank you, give you glory. There's victory in the midst of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. And we're looking now at the condition in the furnace in verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, as you look at this condition here in the midst of the fiery furnace, I want you to notice that they were loose. And the condition in the fiery furnace was that they had a companionship that was not seen before, but his presence was there in spirit. But Jesus got in the fire with them. And I tell you right now, in the fire, with Jesus as being outside of it without him, it's better, amen? I'd rather be in the fire and know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and know that he's with me and he's going to help me than have everything going good and not know his presence. Amen. And in the fire, they knew his presence. And they lost what they's bound with. And so a lot of times when you're in the fire, that's when you get loose. A lot of times when everything's going good, everything looks fine, and we think everything's under control, we get bound up in certain things that we don't realize we're bound up with. But when you get in the fire, you find out a certain thing's not important anyhow, and you get them out of your life because that's not what you're concerned about at that time. And the devil will try every way he can to get you bound up and messed up in something that'll hold you down. But in the fire, things take on new meaning, amen? And when trouble comes, it seems like other things are not so important after all. And you get down real sick, and you'll find out that these little old petty things that we think we got to have is not as important as we thought they were. And it comes time to face God and go out of this life, you'll find out a lot of things we thought was important ain't really important after all. And so you see that in the fire, they lost what they was bound with. And then they had companionship with the Lord Jesus. And there they were. I like that condition they were in the fire. Amen. I just kind of like that. Why don't you look back with me in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 in verse number 2. Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He didn't say I may, he said I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And now he's talking about Israel and dealing with Israel, but I want you also to turn in to 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 and verse number 19. I'm sorry, chapter number 4 and verse 16. That's verse 19 in chapter 2 mentioned, preached on it Sunday. But let's look at chapter 4 and verse number 16, 17. And here's Paul when he was in the midst of some trouble, and he come through it, and said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. And he said, they forsook me, wouldn't stand with me, but said, I hope God doesn't lay it to their charge. I pray God doesn't. And said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengtheneth me. And that's something about that verse of scripture blesses my heart. And everybody else may forsake you, and you may think you're standing alone, but he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. He know he stood with me, he strengthened me. And why Paul was, whatever situation that he's in, and however he was standing, and whoever had forsaken him, and however it looked, he could look around and say, God's still here. And when God's still there, it's all right. Amen. And you can still stand with God and be with him. And I say, praise God. I like it. Hey, a little old poem I run across years ago, and I don't read many poems in the pulpit except some Brother Johnson writes and some people once in a while. But here's a poem that I think will be a blessing to you. It said, never a trial that he's not there, and never a burden that he does not bear, never a sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, I'm in his care. I say hallelujah. I like that. And not a burden he doesn't bear, not a sorrow he doesn't share. Hey, he's moment by moment, he's there. And I say, praise God. Aren't you glad that he's there for you? Amen. Their condition there in the fire. Now, they lost the what they was bound up with. And God got in there with them. And they had real freedom. They were down. Now, look, get the picture. And this is not fairy tale. This is not Harry Potter stuff. This is real stuff I'm talking to you about. I'm talking to you about something that's real. And they were down there, and the fire was hot and burned seven times hotter than it usually was. And they cast in there, and they were walking. They were walking and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus. I believe it's a theophany of the presence of Jesus in the Old Testament. And they were down there walking around and talking and having fellowship in that place. I say, glory to God. I do not believe that they were paying any attention to the fire. I don't believe they were saying, well, the wood's hot or ever what they're burning in there. I don't believe they paid any attention to that. I don't even believe they paid any attention to King standing outside. There's a crowd out there that's worshiping that image. They's wrapped up in the Son of the living God. Amen. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus transfigured there and Moses and Elijah came, and of course, Peter first, he didn't know what to do. He wanted to build a tabernacle for everybody, for the three of them. But that wasn't God's plan. And the cloud came by. Shekinah glory passed over. And God said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And they fell to the ground like dead men. And then the Bible said, and here's the point I want you to get. When they opened their eyes and they looked, they saw no man but Jesus only. They got their eyes on Jesus. And Moses and Elijah must have went back. But anyway, they had their eyes on Jesus, and that's all they cared about. I believe walking in the midst of the fire and Jesus down there with you, I don't believe you're going to be talking about many things of this world. I believe it's all going to be about him and here we are. I don't know what they say. I'd love to know in a way, but God didn't choose to tell me, so no use me speculating on that. I'd like to for a minute, but anyway, I don't know what they said or how they, but they were loose walking in the midst of that fire. You talk about trouble, they were in trouble. But they had freedom in that trouble, and they could have fellowship in that trouble. And I know that much. And I know they were just loose walking and fellowshipping and with Jesus. And my goodness, hallelujah. That make you want to have a shouting spell right there. And when we're in the midst of the fire and the trouble's really raging and it really looks bad, it'd be just good to know he's right there in the midst of it. He's right there with us. And he's going to help us, amen, and see and realize that great truth. And that fellowship was theirs, and it was there. Elijah, he fled from Jezebel. Every once in a while, you get run into somebody or some situation, and you flee, and he got discouraged. The fact is, he got depressed, and he got down, and he really got out. And he got on a juniper tree and said, Lord, just let me die. But God sent an angel by and gave him some food to eat, and he got up and ate and said, rise and eat. Ate that and went back to sleep. And then the angel came by again and said, rise and eat. And got up and ate and went in the prior of 40 days. I say hallelujah. I'm glad. Now, he was in a mess, and he was running, fleeing, but after God got through with him and he got refreshed with God, he went back and faced Ahab. He went back, and things got straightened out. Amen. He got things right, and things went good, and I praise God. That happened with him, Joseph, down in Egypt, and he went through all he went through, but he became prime minister. He's in the midst of trouble. Don't you think in that prison he wasn't in the midst of trouble? Don't you think sold in bondage? You look back, and the Bible said he looked back at his brothers and wept. Don't you know that he really was going through a hard time, but yet through it all, he trusted God, got through it, and he was a prime minister of Egypt and lived that life. Problems come, and don't always happen this way, but I had a phone call today, and It reminded me of Brother Don Worthy. Brother Don Worthy's in heaven. But he was a man that got saved in the old building. Many of you, not many of you, most of you don't even know who I'm talking about. But some few of you remember him. But Don's wife got saved. And on a Sunday morning, she made a statement and said, "My husband's hard, and he's going to be hard to reach." Before the next Sunday, he had had a bad heart attack and was in Murray Black Hospital. And they called for me to come. I went to the hospital. I talked to him. And I've been in that situation many of a time. And people say a lot of things and you wonder about. But before that morning was over, Don had bowed his head and asked God to save him. And Jesus came in his heart and said, "If I live, I'm going to come to church." And well, it went on. Now, he was real sick, real bad. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. Didn't know what was going to happen. But I know in the midst of that morning, in the midst of his trouble, and he could have very well have died and went on out and turned it to me even before I got there and went to hell. And I didn't save him, but God just let me be an instrument that God used to bring the gospel. But he got saved, and he got well, and he got out of the hospital, and he came to church, and we baptized him, and he lived for God, and he came, and he'd come by my office and say, "Anything I can do, anything I can help you with." He couldn't work after that. He had sick, and he'd come by my house, and he'd help me in the yard, and he'd help me. He just, I just want to do something for God. And he lived for a good while, and I can't forget him. But I'm thinking about a sovereign God that let him go in the midst of that fire. But it's right in the midst of the fire, and I'm sure the family is all worried and concerned about him being in that message. But it's a blessed thing that he got in the fire. Because that's when he got right with God, and when he got out, he's in a lot better shape than he was when he got in. Amen. He finally passed away and went on to glory. But I'm glad he had the heart attack. I'm glad he got where he got, because God got him right where he wanted him, and God saved him by his marvelous grace. Hallelujah. Amen. I praise God for that. I've told you many of a time about Brother Al Clark, and Brother Al been in a brawl in a place where they drink and got shot, and he laying in a hospital, and I went by to see him. I said, "Brother Al, will you come to church?" And Brother Al said, "If I live, I'll come." And I thought to myself, he's liable to die and go to hell. But God let him live. I'd heard that about coming to church, and I thought, I said, "I wonder if he'll come." One Sunday morning, I looked up there, and there he come, big old Al. He walked in. That Sunday morning, old Al got saved, born in the family of God. And it wasn't long after that, God called him to preach. And then it wasn't long after that, he went to mission field. But his family got saved. His mom got saved. His dad got saved. A bird, his dad, and mom. God just did it. We laying there in that hospital. He was shot. He didn't know he was going to live or die. And he didn't know. And I just tried to tell him about Jesus. Invited him to church. And I left him at that. And God did the rest. God did the convicting, the drawing. God did the saving. And now he's speaking, preaching Hispanics, started a church here in Spartanburg County, doing the work for God. I say, I'm glad he got shot. Amen. I'd rather he got shot and got saved doing what he's doing than been living the life he was living and on his way to hell and went to hell without God. Amen. A lot of times bad things happen. First thing we want God to do is heal them, get them well. And don't let them be sick. Don't let them suffer any. Well, sometimes maybe it'll help them. Cut me off. Had to sneeze. I knew if I didn't get cut off, y'all hear a kaboom out there. Amen. But aren't you glad the sovereign God allows those times to come? And something good comes out of it. But then as you say, certain things come and good comes out of it. And God knows how to work in your heart, in your life, always to give him glory. Well, let me give you the last thing and I close. The consequences of the furnace. Look in verse number 27. The consequences of that furnace. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. Now remember, I read to you last week about all those sheriffs and everybody that came out there to worship that image. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego wouldn't bow. They probably laughed at him, made fun of him, said, "Look at those three Hebrews. They're going to burn in that fire. They're kind of ignorant and they're backward. They come out of Israel up there and they don't know much. And they're not going to mount anything. They think they're going to stand against this king, but
They're not, but here the same ones are. And they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, and the fire was had not sins, neither was the clothes and so forth, burned. And there, those same ones that probably laughed and made fun of, I want you to know when they came out of the fire, they had a great testimony. They came out with something they could say, God delivered us. And I believe that the same humility that they went in with, they came out with. And as they looked at them, they probably, talking about that fire and all that, they were probably saying, our God delivered us. The one I told the king about, when we told the king he would deliver us, if he didn't, we still wasn't going to bow. That same God, he's the one that brought us out. Wasn't anything about us. Wasn't anything that we did. It was just God delivered us and brought us out. Hey, in the midst of trouble, we can come out of it and we can look back on it and say, our God delivered us. Our God set us out and delivered us. Amen? And have a testimony you wouldn't have otherwise. And God can use it for his glory and for his honor. I say praise God and the Lamb forever. And as you look at that and think about it, then verse 28 and 29, we'll take time to read it. But Nebuchadnezzar, that pagan king, he began to brag on that God. That one, he said, who is that God? But then he began to brag on that God and began to say, nobody speaks against that God. That God, he's God. Hey, I'm glad, praise God. God got the glory. God got the honor. And he was magnified. I want to tell you tonight, in the midst of trouble, God can get the honor and the glory and be magnified. And we can be a great testimony of what God has done. Not that we're anything, but what God has done in our lives to show others our Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad in the midst of this victory, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of whatever comes, and it may look bad, and things may happen. You may be headed to something, I may be headed to something that we don't know about right now. But you just remember this message. There's victory in the midst of trouble. There's somebody that'll be in the fire with you. There's somebody to come through with you. And I've been there, and you have, many of y'all have, in many serious situations that God just came through with you and been real, real. And I mean, tell you, it's real. And I hadn't been preaching long, but Anthony got real sick. And they thought he had leukemia, but it wasn't leukemia. Some big, long name, and I can't even say it. But something wrong with his blood platelets. Well, there was no platelets. And he's bruising real bad, and he's real sick. And they took bone marrow, and they handled that. And the doctor told me, said, let's don't tell your wife yet. Let's let it go. That night, I was trying to go to school. I just started preaching, and I was wondering what was going on. But that night, I sat by his bedside and read Psalm 23, began to read it to him as he went to sleep. And oh, God got so real. Right in the midst of that fire, God got real to my heart and said, son, I'm with you. And I knew God was able to deliver him. And if he didn't, I still gonna do what God wanted me to do. And God honored. I believe God wanted to let me go through that fire. And I praise him and thank him for it. God always does well. What you going through? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I pray you to help us now. And Lord, there's people here that maybe they're going through a fire, maybe they're facing something or going to face something. They need help. And they're going to need your presence. They're going to need your reality. And then, Father, there's some here tonight that maybe their heart's not right with God. And they know there's something wrong. They know they need to get right with God. There's going to be a day they're going to go through some fire. There's going to be some day they're going to want you. They're going to need you. There's probably going to be a day they're going to have to face you. And I pray you'd have your way with their hearts and their lives. Lord, we love them. We lift them to you. We pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit of God, just do a work in hearts tonight. Help us all do what we need to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand our feet, please. Play softly. Before we sing, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to breathe a prayer for this invitation. If you need to come and bow and pray, talk to God. It may not be a fire you're in. It may not be what you're facing, but it's maybe something you need God to help you with. You'd like to do that. Would you just, maybe you just need to get right with God. Just let God have his way. Just step out and come. Come and say, Lord, I just want you to have your way in my heart, my life.
I want you to be with me when I go through the fire. I want you to help me. If you'll come, God will help you. God will help you. We love you. God loves you. Jesus cares. We care. You need to come. Will you come quickly? Just make that step and come. I'm not going to prolong the invitation. I'm through. If you need to come, you come. I want to say this. You preach a message like this, and a lot of times there's somebody going to go through a fire right after it. There's something God's getting somebody ready for. Are you ready? If you need to come, you come. There's somebody up here praying. Maybe somebody else needs to come. You let God have his way. You do what God wants you to do. God's able to help you through the He'll go with you through the fire. And he'll be with you. And he'll help you. And he'll direct you. He'll give you real victory. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking, just myself and God. God's speaking to your heart. God dealing with your life. You'd like to slip your hand up and say that, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up quickly? Take it back down. Just slip it up and take it back down. Anybody anywhere. Anyone anywhere. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. God bless you. Anybody else quickly. Thank God for those who care. Those who want God to help. Anybody else quickly. There's somebody praying. We're waiting on God. We're not going to rush that. Miss Pam. You ought to come. You ought to let God have his way. You ought to let God do what he wants to do. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those who lifted their hands. I pray for those that came to the altar and prayed, God, you'd help. Then those that lifted their hands, they said, pray for me. You know what their needs are. You know exactly who they are. Father, I pray for them. My heart cries to you. Give them special help. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for worshiping with us tonight. And I pray God will bless you, and you can leave out of the house of God since good. Have been in God's house, and just let God do for you what he wants to do. I'm going to walk down that aisle. Give me a moment to walk back in the back. Good night. God.